In the heart of New York's financial district, investment professionals gather around conference tables, grappling with a sobering reality. The era of easy returns is over. Antti Ilmenen's Investing Amid Low Expected Returns has become their essential roadmap for this challenging landscape. The book has gained cult status among institutional investors since its 2022 release, with sovereign wealth fund managers and pension executives alike calling it their investing Bible for the new era. Even Ray Dalio praised it as required reading for anyone responsible for multi-generational wealth. What makes this work so compelling is how it transforms the anxiety-inducing reality of historically low expected returns into a framework for thoughtful action, offering not just warnings but practical strategies for survival and success in what may be the defining investment challenge of our generation. The investment world faces a generational challenge. Historically low expected returns across virtually all asset classes. This isn't just a temporary blip, but a structural condition affecting pension plans, individual retirement savers, and endowments accustomed to spending 5% annually. Despite previous warnings about low returns, markets, especially U.S. markets, delivered generous returns through the 2010s due to what Ilmenen calls the discount rate effect. Falling yields and rising valuations created windfall gains, but simultaneously reduced future return prospects. Think of this like harvesting fruit trees. For decades, investors enjoyed both the fruit, income, and watched the trees grow taller. Capital appreciation. Now, the trees have reached their maximum height, leaving only the fruit as return. Even worse, the fruit yield itself has diminished. This environment stems from post-global financial crisis slow growth and low inflation, which prompted central banks to maintain loose monetary policies. The math is simple but brutal. All assets are priced as expected cash flows divided by a discount rate. When the risk-free component of this discount rate approaches zero, everything appears expensive. The situation creates a paradox for investors. Should they accept lower returns by moderating spending plans or take more risk by moving into higher-yielding but riskier investments? Using the Serenity Prayer as a framework, Ilmenen observes that few investors have shown serenity to accept lower returns, while many have shown courage to change by taking more risk. This collective behavior suggests a lack of wisdom to know the difference, setting investors up for disappointment, as they cannot all escape the fate of lower returns. The problem is compounded by aging demographics across developed nations. With the ratio of old age to working age population projected to rise dramatically by 2050, the pressure on investment returns intensifies. We've effectively borrowed returns from the future through the windfall gains of falling discount rates, a one-time boost that cannot be repeated. Different investor types face unique versions of the low return challenge. Defined benefit, DB, pension plans, individual defined contribution, DC savers, and university endowments all share the common goal of saving to meet future liabilities or spending plans, but with significant differences in approach. DB pension plans carry legally binding liabilities where sponsors bear investment and longevity risks. Many corporate sponsors have shifted to DC plans to transfer these risks to employees. Public DB plans often use higher discount rates based on expected returns rather than market-based yields, making their funding ratios appear better than they truly are. Despite favorable market conditions, U.S. corporate DB plans averaged just 83% funding in the 2010s, down from over 100% in 2007, while public DB plans saw their average funding ratio fall from 102% in 2001 to 72% by 2020. Individual DC savers bear investment and longevity risks themselves, often saving insufficiently. The low return environment demands nearly doubling savings rates. Achieving a 75% salary replacement rate requires increasing annual savings from 8% when expecting 5.5% real returns to 15% with 3.5% expected returns. For better than 50-50 odds of reaching retirement targets, savings may need to reach 20%. University endowments represent perpetual wealth pools without binding liabilities, typically following spending rules that withdraw about 5% annually. They've weathered the low-return environment through fast recoveries and smoothing in both illiquid asset valuations and spending rules. However, they must question whether they can maintain their 5% spending rule if markets offer only 3% real returns, potentially forcing them to consume capital. Institutional investing has evolved dramatically over time, with two major trends dominating: the shift from fixed income to equity-dominated portfolios, and later, increasing allocations to illiquid alternatives. Both trends were pioneered by large U.S. endowments before spreading to other institutions globally. U.S. equity ownership has transformed from over 90% direct household ownership in 1950 to just over 30% by 2020, with mutual funds, including ETFs, now holding an equal share. Every long-only investment can be decomposed into the riskless cash return, reward for time, plus various risk premia. Ilmenin presents a pyramid framework showing how portfolio returns comprise different components, from cash returns at the base through various risk premia to alpha at the peak. Cash returns deserve special focus as their abnormally low levels drive today's investment challenges. While the historical, normal U.S. cash rate was around 4%, 2-3% inflation, plus 1-2% real rate, recent years have seen near zero or even negative rates globally. The recent period of persistently negative real rates since 2008 contrasts sharply with peak values of 3-4% in the 1980s and 2000. The equity risk premium stands as the most important risk premium for most investors. Public equities dominate many portfolios, and their premium influences many assets beyond public stocks, including high-yield bonds and private equity. According to Dimson-Marsh-Staunton data covering 1900-2020, global equities delivered 5.3% real return, 4.4% premium over bills, and 3.1% premium over bonds. U.S. equities outperformed other countries 6.6% versus 4.5% real return, primarily due to faster real dividend growth. However, historical average returns almost certainly overstate future prospects. Looking forward, mid-2021 estimates point to about 3.2% real return on U.S. equities, 1.7% income, 1.5% growth, or 5.5% nominal return with 2.3% inflation. Non-U.S. markets offer higher expected returns due to lower valuations. The bond risk premium, or term premium, is the excess return of long-term government bonds over cash. Over the century, 1920-2020, bonds delivered a 1.8% annual premium over cash. The 10-year Treasury yield can be broken down into three components: expected average inflation rates, expected average real short rates over the next decade, and the required bond risk premium. All three components contributed to the decline in Treasury yields over time, and by 2020, all were near historical lows. Many investors believe strongly in illiquidity premia, the extra return earned for accepting lockups and trading limitations. However, careful empirical analysis reveals surprisingly modest returns for the illiquidity risks taken. Private assets like real estate, private equity, and infrastructure are often marketed as offering superior returns in exchange for illiquidity, but the evidence is less compelling than commonly believed. Contrary to expectations, more liquid REITs outperformed illiquid NCRIF investments, 7% versus 4% compound return over cash, during the 43-year period from 1978-2020. Even when adjusted for differences in leverage and sector composition, REITs still showed mildly higher returns. The surprising scarcity of illiquidity premia can be explained by private assets' lack of mark-to-market pricing, which artificially lowers measured risk and flatters diversification potential. While investors theoretically should demand 3 to 5% excess return for decade-long capital lockups, our collective preference for smooth returns likely offsets much of this fair premium. As Keynes noted in 1938, the absence of visible price fluctuations doesn't make investments safer. Real estate investors should recognize that recent decades' rising prices benefited from the one-off boost of falling real yields. Attribution analysis shows that starting from today's 4% gross yield, 2.7% net, and assuming zero real growth and valuation changes, the expected real return is just 2.7%, potentially lower if real income growth remains negative or valuations mean revert. Style premia represent systematic, dynamic, long-short strategies with expected positive rewards, supported by compelling long-run evidence across multiple asset classes. Four major style categories, value, momentum, carry, and defensive, have historically generated positive returns in sample and out of sample across various asset classes and using multiple specifications. Value investing applies contrarian principles across security selection, asset allocation, and market timing. Dating back to Graham Dodd's work in the 1930s, value investing has centuries of success despite notorious periods of failure. Value strategies typically involve comparing current market prices with fundamental anchors to identify cheap or expensive assets. While value strategies performed dismally between 2018-2020, the resulting extreme valuation gap created a compelling opportunity, with value beginning to recover in late 2020. Momentum strategies buy recent winners and sell recent losers, applied either as directional trend following on individual assets or as cross-sectional momentum portfolios based on relative performance. While contrarian strategies buy weakness, momentum buys strength. The key is that they work at different time horizons. Assets exhibit trending tendencies up to 1 year, but mean revert at multi-year horizons. The negative correlation between value and momentum strategies, often near minus 0.5, makes them excellent complements in a portfolio. Carry strategies earn positive income over time, typically by buying high-yielding assets against selling low-yielding ones. Though positive carry doesn't guarantee positive returns, it empirically predicts them, with varying effectiveness across asset classes. Carry strategies are notorious for asymmetric outcomes, going up the stairs, down the elevator, but their left-tail risk can be diversified away in a broad carry portfolio, since crashes tend to be asset class-specific. Defensive strategies exploit the empirical fact that boring assets have earned better risk-adjusted returns than speculative ones across most asset classes. Within stock markets, defensive stocks have earned at least as high long-term returns as riskier stocks, contradicting the notion of a positive risk-reward trade-off. This phenomenon can be explained by leverage constraints. Investors cannot fully exploit boring stocks' superior Sharpe ratios by levering them up. And lottery preferences. Many investors prefer high-risk stocks for their embedded leverage and lottery-like payoffs. Portfolio construction involves balancing risk and reward through constrained mean variance optimization. The key insight in unconstrained MVO is valuing high Sharpe ratios and good diversifiers, trading off these features against constraints on leverage and liquidity. Diversification offers tremendous benefits that are frequently underutilized, with most investors maintaining home-biased portfolios dominated by equity risk. Few take full advantage of multiple rewarded factors, which would require shorting and leverage, but could potentially boost Sharpe ratios fourfold. Risk parity portfolios with equal risk across uncorrelated assets can achieve Sharpe ratios 1.7 times higher than individual asset classes, though leverage is needed to match 60-40 returns. Alternative risk premia diversification offers the greatest benefits, particularly with lowly correlated long-short strategies. Combining four styles across four asset classes can potentially quadruple Sharpe ratios from 0.2 to 0.8. Empirical evidence from a century of data confirms these benefits. Single-style strategies averaged 0.4 Sharpe ratios, multi-style composites reached 0.8, and the all-in composite achieved 1.5. However, aggressive diversification has downsides beyond high leverage. Diversified portfolios often lack conventionality and simple narratives that investors find comforting. These very limitations may explain why the high Sharpe ratios of diversified portfolios have persisted for decades. In practice, most investors talk diversification but walk concentration, with portfolios dominated by equity market risk. Risk management differs fundamentally from risk minimization. Successful investors must deliberately embrace certain risks while protecting against those that could threaten survival or derail long-term objectives. Ilmenin outlines three classic risk management techniques that form the foundation of institutional portfolio management: diversification, spreading allocations across multiple assets with low correlations; hedging, taking offsetting positions to eliminate specific unwanted risks; and insurance, paying upfront costs to limit downside exposure. The implementation of these techniques requires careful consideration of costs and trade-offs. Diversification, while powerful, can become less effective during market stress when correlations spike. Hedging through futures or forwards may be cheaper than options but requires active management. Insurance through put options provides reliable protection, but at a significant cost that erodes long-term returns. In his notable debate with Nassim Taleb about tail risk management, Ilmenin presents evidence that put options consistently act as expensive insurance rather than cheap hedges. Historical data shows that put buying strategies generate negative long-run returns due to the persistent volatility risk premium. In contrast, trend-following strategies have delivered positive long-term returns while still providing valuable tail risk protection. This protection proves effective because most equity market crashes develop gradually enough for trend followers to adjust their positions, with examples including the 2008 financial crisis and 2020 COVID crash. Beyond traditional volatility measures, sophisticated investors must consider multiple interconnected risk dimensions. These include multi-factor exposures, sensitivity to interest rates, credit spreads, liquidity conditions, and volatility regimes. Investor-specific preferences, asymmetric aversion to losses, requirements for liquid assets, operational risks, counterparties, systems, human error, and fundamentally unmeasurable Knightonian uncertainty, where probability distributions cannot be known. Institutional investors face additional complexity in balancing multiple risk objectives. They must determine optimal trade-offs between absolute portfolio risk, total portfolio volatility, active risk versus benchmarks, tracking error, surplus risk, assets versus liabilities, and maverick risk, deviating too far from peer portfolios. The appropriate balance depends on factors like funding status, time horizon, and governance structure. Effective risk management requires regular stress testing of portfolios against both historical scenarios and hypothetical events. This helps identify potential vulnerabilities and ensure survival during severe market dislocations while maintaining the ability to generate required returns over full market cycles. ESG, environmental, social, and governance, investing has become the past decade's biggest game changer in institutional investing practices and corporate behavior. By 2020, over 3,000 institutions with collective assets exceeding $100 trillion had signed the United Nations Principles for Responsible Investment, representing a seismic shift in how capital is allocated globally. Major asset managers like BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street have made ESG integration central to their investment processes. The ESG investing landscape encompasses multiple sophisticated approaches. Responsible asset selection has evolved from simple negative screening, excluding sin stocks like tobacco or weapons, to positive screening, actively seeking companies with strong ESG practices, and comprehensive ESG integration into fundamental analysis. This integration includes analyzing climate risk exposure, labor practices, supply chain sustainability, board diversity, and executive compensation structures. Responsible ownership has also matured, with investors expressing opinions through proxy voting on ESG issues and direct corporate engagement through shareholder proposals and private dialogue with management teams. The impact of ESG investing on financial performance remains actively debated both theoretically and empirically. ESG proponents argue for a win-win scenario where virtuous investing doesn't sacrifice returns, pointing to companies like Tesla, Ørsted, and Unilever as examples of strong ESG performers delivering market-beating returns. They contend that companies with strong ESG practices are better positioned to navigate future risks and capitalize on opportunities in the transition to a sustainable economy. Traditional finance theory suggests that any investment constraint, including ESG filters, should mathematically reduce the opportunity set and potentially harm returns. However, these perspectives can be reconciled by considering the transition timeline and market efficiency dynamics. During early stages of ESG adoption, identifying mispriced ESG risks and opportunities can potentially generate alpha. As markets mature and ESG factors become fully priced, returns may normalize. Empirically, governance signals like board independence, shareholder rights, and accounting quality have consistently shown positive correlation with performance across multiple studies and time periods. Environmental and social impacts show mixed results, with some studies finding positive effects in specific sectors or time periods, while others show neutral or negative impacts. Regional differences are also significant, with European markets generally showing stronger ESG performance relationships than other regions. The rise of standardized ESG reporting frameworks, improved data quality, and sophisticated analytics tools continues to reshape how investors evaluate and integrate ESG factors into their investment processes. This evolution suggests that ESG considerations will likely become increasingly embedded in mainstream investment analysis rather than remaining a separate specialty approach. Tactical market timing strategies often present beautifully in backtests and historical analyses, but consistently fall short when implemented in real-world conditions. This is particularly evident with contrarian timing approaches using the Shiller-Cape cyclically adjusted PE ratio for the S&P 500. While historical charts showing entry and exit points based on CAPE valuations appear compelling, these strategies have repeatedly disappointed investors in live trading environments. The data reveals a peculiar pattern. Market timing strategies show mild outperformance over very long periods spanning 120 years, yet fail to deliver meaningful advantages during any individual investor's typical investment horizon of 30 to 40 years. Contrarian timing signals face several significant challenges that limit their effectiveness. First, they often trigger too early, identifying overvaluation or undervaluation long before markets actually reverse. This early positioning can lead to substantial opportunity costs and psychological strain as markets continue moving against the position. For instance, investors who went defensive based on high CAPE readings in 1996 missed out on several years of strong returns before the eventual dot-com crash. The second major challenge is the constant battle against both short-term momentum effects and long-term structural market changes. Markets can remain overvalued or undervalued far longer than most investors can maintain their contrarian positions. Additionally, structural changes in the market, such as the shift toward technology companies, changes in accounting standards, and evolving business models, can render historical valuation metrics less relevant for current market conditions. When examining the empirical evidence, the improvements from timing strategies are surprisingly modest. While diversification across long-short style premia can achieve a doubling of the Sharpe ratio, and further diversification across multiple asset classes can nearly double it again, even the most successful out-of-sample style timing strategies only manage to improve the strategic long-run Sharpe ratio by less than 10%. This modest improvement hardly justifies the additional complexity, trading costs, and psychological challenges of implementing timing strategies. The research also shows that timing signals tend to be too coarse for effective market timing. Markets rarely follow the clean, predictable patterns that historical analyses might suggest. Instead, they respond to a complex web of factors, including monetary policy, geopolitical events, technological disruption, and changing investor behavior patterns, making precise timing based on any single metric or set of metrics extremely challenging. Successful investing requires both good investments and good investors who can resist bad habits while cultivating good practices. Multi-year return chasing, buying winners and selling laggards across asset classes, strategies, stocks, or funds stems from our deep behavioral tendency to imitate and extrapolate. While momentum works over multi-month horizons, markets exhibit mean reversion at multi-year horizons, making investor flows often poorly timed. Goyal Wahal's analysis of pension plans' manager hiring-firing decisions found that fired managers later outperformed their replacements. Stock returns show one-year momentum but five-year reversals, yet investors act like momentum investors at reversal horizons, often abandoning strategies after 3 to 5 years of underperformance just when higher returns might follow. Other bad habits include impatience, leading to insufficient retirement savings, over-extrapolation, hoarding, and overconfidence. Good practices include cultivating discipline, patience, and probabilistic thinking. As Morgan Housel puts it, save like a pessimist, invest like an optimist, emphasizing the importance of saving more in a low-return world while taking necessary risks. The central dilemma facing investors in a low-return environment is whether to take more risk to meet return goals or reduce risk because expected returns are historically low. While many have chosen to increase risk, this path requires open eyes since investments have higher valuations and may be more vulnerable to corrections. Conversely, moving to cash is equally challenging with negative real rates. The most justifiable approach may be maintaining a broadly similar portfolio as in normal times, sticking with long-term strategies while accepting lower returns, reducing waste, and investing efficiently. Having borrowed returns from the future through multi-decade windfall gains, investors face a future of low returns that may materialize either as slow pain, persistent low income, or fast pain, repricing toward lower valuations and higher prospective returns. Good long-term investing principles are timeless but matter more in challenging market environments. Thoughtfully selecting return sources based on realistic investment beliefs, appropriately sizing risks based on risk-adjusted excess returns, investing strategically and patiently with minimal tactical timing, diversifying boldly with robust portfolios, executing cost-effectively, and governing well. The author advocates for stable confidence rather than excessive humility, noting that investment outcomes depend on both luck and skill, with luck often dominating short-term results. Referencing the Serenity Prayer, he reminds investors to control the process while recognizing luck's role in outcomes. A serene mindset helps investors become more patient and consistent, essential qualities when a strategy is only good if you can stick with it.